bring greetings to you this morning in the name of Christ. Consider it a privilege to be here to worship the Lord with you. Bring greetings to you as well from the Santa Fe Church in Lake Butler, Florida. And we're so happy how God is blessing the church, the work of the church, and certainly encouraging to see younger men standing for truth. And thinking about Brother Stewart, my mind goes back about 50-something years ago when he and his dad had been serving in Red Lake, Ontario for a brief time. And both he and I were dating at that time, and we were living back in the bush, stationed back in the bush, and we were real anxious to hear the airplane coming in, and both of us were expecting letters from our girlfriends. Sometimes we were disappointed, sometimes one or the other was disappointed. But having said that, I have good memories of that, and now Brother Stewart, remember getting to know him back in Bible school days, Carbon Hill, good memories. And these are all good memories that I treasure. And not only do I treasure, but they serve as an inspiration for us older ones to keep on. And so we need the younger men to keep the older ones moving on. But it's by the grace of God that we're able to share this morning. And it's only by the grace of God that you and I are who we are and where we are, and it's our desire to continue to be faithful to the Lord. Thank you for praying, and God bless you for coming this morning. And as I mentioned earlier, that God is blessing the church, and we're so thankful for that. The other side of that is we all would agree and know that we have an opposer who is trying to cause havoc among God's people. And he's doing all that he can. He knows he has but a short time, and he knows that there are ways of crippling the church or destroying the church, at least trying to, not by leaps and bounds, but by little and by little. And I think that there's two ways, possibly there's more, but at least two foundational ways that Satan is using today to accomplish what he wants in relation to the church, and that is an absence of the fear of God and a disrespect for his word. If we take those two, those are foundational. And if we don't have the respect, we don't have the proper fear of God and a respect for the word, certainly is going to open the door for Satan to make a lot of headway. And you think about that a bit. An absence of the fear of God and a lack of respect for the word. And when that happens, as I mentioned, we can certainly expect a lot of problems. The subject this morning, I don't know how these brethren, how they ever sort what they should be preaching about. The key, I suppose, is, I shouldn't say I suppose, it is to allow God to work and to lay the message on their hearts. I'd like to speak this morning on the snare of gradualism. And suggest that title and that subject, it's not at all that I'm pulling out the Mount Joy congregation as an example of that. I think we see it in church life in general, where gradualism is such a subtle thing. And we see that developing, we see that struggle in a lot of our churches, especially conservative churches, and we're concerned about the trends that we see. and some of the things that we hear and observe, and it does give us concern. And I guess that's why I felt that it's not only good for you this morning, but it's good for me to again take a look at the snare of gradualism. And there's four areas that I'd like for us to think about. Before doing that, maybe I should just go ahead and introduce the points that we'd like to cover. The first point is what gradualism is. Second point is what gradualism does. And the third point, how gradualism becomes a part of one's experience. And fourthly, how can we fortify ourselves against gradualism? These are four points that we're not going to be able to cover fully. I know that time doesn't allow for that. But I'd like for us to think briefly on the subtleness of the effects, the cause of gradualism. And one thing I'd like for us to think about, and that is the choices that you and I make, grandparents, parents, dads, moms, young people today, the choices that we make when we get to where we should be, following the result of that choice, will we be where we want to be? When we make choices, have consequences. Choices have their effects. And oftentimes, Satan causes us to make choices today that hides the future. But we'd like to look at, first of all, what is gradualism? The Webster Dictionary defines gradualism as the principle or policy of achieving some goal by gradual steps rather than by drastic change. The dictionary says this about the word gradual. It mentions changing or moving, etc., by small degrees or little by little. The policy of or the belief in by advancing toward a goal by gradual or slow stages. And I'd like for us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'd like to read a couple of verses here as somewhat a springboard for us to move ahead with this subject. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive or argue, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare." Now get this word, here we have the snare of gradualism, now we're talking about the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. By way of illustration of the cat, for an example, before it pounces on its prey, will very, very slowly, barely visible, move forward in a sneaking way, barely, barely visible, and probably not seen by its prey, but going very, very slowly, and until it's almost on its prey, whether it's a mouse, butterfly, or whatever it is, and all of a sudden, whoop, it jumps on it and it's caught, but it goes slow, barely, very, almost invisible. Now, another illustration You probably have heard the story about the frog that jumped into a pan of water. And the frog boiled to death. You know, the frog, he could have jumped out. But because the water was heated so gradually, he didn't feel the effects of it. And then you know what happened. He simply boiled to death. Well, this story gives us some practical insight about how we can gradually become numb to what is going on around us and the circumstances that are trying to change us. Now, we're not talking about growing in the things of God, but we're talking about, you know, this is Satan's work to get us to move away from God gradually. An absence of the fear of God and a disrespect for his word. Now keep that in mind. We can gradually become accustomed to the compromising spirit of our day and begin to boil in the pot if we let down our guard and lose sight of what God expects from our lives to truth and holy living. You know, we need to be aware of this kind of gradualism that is taking place or can take place in our lives. The words of Solomon says something like this, that it's the little foxes that do what? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And that's what Solomon has to say. And when it comes to a person's integrity and credibility, these are no small issues. Now I'd like to look at the second part of this subject. What takes place in our lives when we begin to let down the guard gradually or by the process of small degrees or little by little, as Webster says, changing or moving by small degrees or little by little. Again, I'd like for us to be reminded, little things, what seem to be insignificant decisions, but the decisions that we make today, where are we going to be 10, 15, 20 years from now? Will we be where we want to be with the decisions that we make today? And they are going to have us lead us in a way that Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what are we going to do with that? In the first place, coming back to the question, what takes place in our lives when we begin to let down the guard gradually or little by little in small degrees? First of all, we might find ourselves no longer wanting to make a distinction between what is absolutely right and what is absolutely wrong. We don't want to make those decisions. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and evil and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. My, that sounds like way, way off, doesn't it? But how does that come? It comes little by little. And we see that happening in our day in which we live. Secondly, what happens when we let down our guard? Number two, we will fail to make the distinction between light and darkness. And that's what we've noted in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. And number three, gradualism takes place in our lives when we compromise truth with error on a, not a large scale, but on a small scale. Those things that seem insignificant. Gradualism takes place in our lives when we compromise truth with error on a small scale. Number four, it happens when we begin to befriend a spirit of compromise in matters pertaining to right and wrong in some setting or atmosphere. You know, when we become cozy or comfortable with air and began to associate with and support places, people, and programs of a compromising nature, we can find ourselves gradually adopting their ideas. And when I say this, I in no way intend to come through in a critical way, but to me, I take it as personal. To me, it's a personal warning that I don't become comfortable with those that are emphasizing and pushing compromise when it comes to whether it's worldliness, whether it's practical applications. Where are these things going to lead us to? And finally, what do we see as a package? It might not be necessarily an isolated issue, but you put the package together and where does it come out at? And what has been the historical patterns and practices of these type of this trend and this direction? And history does have something to teach us. Some people say, I can go this way and I can do this and that, and I'm going to only go so far, this is where I'm stopping. But according to history, there's few that have been able to do that. But it's our desire to do what we know we ought to do. Now, people like I've been talking about, they rely on music, and there's nothing wrong with the right kind of music, but music and rituals, feelings, and experiences have replaced the study of God's Word. Many have no knowledge or understanding of doctrine today. Their understanding of God is based on experience and not on what the Bible teaches. I think you and I can identify, know what we're talking about there. Not that we personally can identify with that, but observation and others that have gone that, taken that course. Gradualism sets in when we slowly become comfortable with compromise to what is known to be right and what is wrong. Moving on to the third point, and that is, how does gradualism take place in our homes and churches? And I hope I have enough time to cover these 8 points. If not, we're going to cover at least 7, but there are 8 points I'd like for us to think about. It's not that it's limited to that, but these are points that I believe that help us to understand or to be able to determine what's happening. Number one, gradualism takes place when we fail to hate the evil and love the good. The Bible has something to say about hating evil and loving the good. Psalms 97. Verse 10, the Bible says, ye that love the Lord do what? Hate evil. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And then in Psalm 119, 104, the Bible says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And verse 128 in Psalm 119, he says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. In these verses, the righteous have a hatred for every evil and false way, all lying and sinful ways, which is against the scripture. You know, this may not be popular, but it's the right thing to do. Gradualism develops when we start loving the evil way or worldly practices. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. The Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, the word dissimulation is an interesting word. and simply means hypocrisy or disguise. And you notice how Paul goes on further with that, and he says that we are to abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. If our love is sincere, then we will want to discern between the right and the wrong. So this text then is saying that true love will express hatred for that which is evil, and it cannot condone sin and error, but only be attached to what is good and clean. It seeks to expose and hate every evil way, and this is why we hate. Notice I said hate rock style music. I'm just giving that as an example. There's many, many other things. But rap music, rock music, always is associated with the evil one. And gradualism, maybe I should include that this is why we hate all ungodly practices. Gradualism develops when we fail to hate evil and allow worldly practices to filter into our lives and families. And little by little, we can begin to accept wrongdoing and find ourselves moving in a compromising direction. Again, gradualism takes place when we fail to absolutely hate evil and love good. You know, gradualism takes place when our zeal and love for what is right becomes secondary to some other purpose or cause. But God said that he hates sin, and so we need to do that as well. Number two, gradualism sets in when we begin to view experience and relationships above obedience to God and his word. We're living in a day when there's a lot of emphasis on relationships and experience, and which is elevated above obedience to the Word of God. Now, obedience, now relationships is right. The Bible talks about that. And experience will follow a right relationship with Christ. But we need to remember that obedience is foremost. Obedience is what God is looking for today. God is looking for 100% obedience. You know, we should be ashamed and convicted when we know what is right and then try to compromise our standard of truth for some other cause or program. And what is true, that sometimes our friends, sometimes our feelings, and sometimes our family get in the way of our obedience. But we need to, brothers and sisters, bypass these blockades and always obey God. We've got to do that. It takes courage. We need to stand up and be men and women for God. To obey is better than sacrifice. Gradualism develops when we forget about the importance of obedience in God's sight. You know, Timothy was exhorted to continue in those things that he had learned from his youth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says in writing to Timothy, he said, "But continue thou the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." You know, being sure about what is right will keep us from sliding down the road of gradualism. Someone has said like this, that right is always right, even if nobody's doing it, and wrong is wrong, always wrong, even if everybody's doing it. Wrong is wrong, and right is always right. Let's keep that in mind. We may be a minority, but God will bless that obedience. Number three, gradualism develops when we lose our will to discern. The Bible says that mature believers should exercise or train their senses, their faculty or their mind or understanding, to discern or distinguish or judge between what is right and what is wrong. You know, when we lose that drive and determination to determine we will gradually begin to progress into a state of compromise when we lose that will to discern. We have too much to lose when we lose our will to discern. The price for losing discernment is too high. Number four, gradualism sets in when we associate with wrong people and fellowships. We appreciate our churches who are standing for truth. We appreciate our fellowships that we feel and that we sense the people of God wanting to do what is right and following that way. But gradualism sets in when we associate with wrong people and fellowships. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, Paul says like this, "Be not deceived, evil communications," or the word communications there simply means companionship, "corrupt good manners." And Paul is talking about close fellowships and interlocking relationships where people are meshed together in some common goal or purpose. This is what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, of finding ourselves meshing together where people have the same common goal or purpose. You know, who we associate with and have close ties with does have an impact upon our lives. And the word corrupt, we noticed in verse 33, means to defile or destroy, and suggest how wrong associations can adversely affect our lives. These fellowship relationships can defile us from a spiritual standpoint. This has always been true. You know, we deceive ourselves when we think that some close relationship or tie with evil company cannot hinder our spiritual growth. It can, it does, and it will. It will happen if we hang around the wrong crowd long enough and develop close bonds and ties. You know, as Christians, young people, we should be wise in the relationships that we choose, because they will have a bearing, they will have an effect on us. As older ones and as younger ones, they will affect us. The kind of chums that we choose to be with can either build us in our relationship with God, or it can sap us of our spiritual vitality. And so sometimes we need others to help us, whether it's our parents, our leaders, or whoever it might be, school teachers. It's true that as we rub elbows with the lost of the world, we need to be kind and gentle toward all men. But we do not have to consciously place ourselves in those environments that are clearly promoting error and doing things that run contrary to truth and righteousness. You know, if we associate with the barnyard too long, now, I don't mean that disrespectful to those that have dairy. We need you, and we're glad that you are a part of our health. But if we associate with the barnyard too long, the smell will start rubbing off on us. A number of years ago, we were in Pennsylvania, and we were to some service, Ascension Day service or something like that. And my brother-in-law had a hog operation. And we were to their place, and following that, he wanted to take us on a tour out to his hog operation. We went through several pig barns, and I never once gave it a thought, but I had my suit on, and my wife still had her church clothes on. We took a tour, and then from there, we went on to a bookstore, and it seemed like we were the only ones always found in the aisle. And what's going on? And then I could smell. The smell was coming in, and then I realized it was we had been in the hog barn too long with our good clothes on. But what I'm saying is this. Now, this is what happens when we hang around the wrong crowd. Their beliefs and practices begin to rub off on us. We begin to smell like we've been hanging around around the barn, the pig barn, and whatever. So what do you smell like today? A figure of speech. In time, your spiritual smell will give you away. It will tell people where your heart really is and what direction that you want to move. Number five, gradualism takes place when we fail to see how little things have an adverse effect on the course of our lives. You know, the Bible tells us how little and insignificant things can corrupt our lives and allow the devil to get a foothold in our personal life, in our family life, and in our church life. We could take a look at leaven, for an example. The Bible talks about leaven. It talks about the tongue. It talks about little foxes. These are all little things, insignificant it may appear. The little city, for an example, when Lot was taken out of Sodom and he wanted just a little city. You know, it seemed like maybe there was something about Lot that he didn't quite want to leave the little city, the city part. I'm not sure why. But, you know, God took him out of the city, but the city, I don't believe, was quite taken out of the heart of Lot. Does that make sense? Lot still longed for a little city, a little one to dwell in. And for what reason, I'm not sure. Gradualism occurs when we allow a love for little things to grab our hearts. Eventually, this will lead us in a direction that we should not go in our Christian lives. Little things are why gradualism takes place today. Gradualism occurs over a period of time as we allow the seemingly harmless little things to go unchecked in our personal lives, our homes, and churches. And now that is why the Bible tells us to deal with all sin and keep our lives clean. Would you this morning, and would I, be willing to choose a little poison to eat with our sandwiches? Well, I'm sure we would say no. You know, that takes me back to one of the words in our title, and that is the snare of gradualism. I wanted to say a little bit more about snare. You know, the Bible talks about Satan being a fowler. He talks about the snare of the fowler. We're told that the fowlers, or those who were bird hunters or bird catchers, would lay their net out, and they would lay something out on the ground, and they would put bird seed or bird feed on the ground, and they would sprinkle a little bit of some kind of seeds that had intoxicating effects. And so the birds would fly in and they would start eating this food, and they would also include some of the seeds that were meant to put the bird under or put the bird out, to where they become insensitive to what's going on around them. And so when the fowler sees what's happening and the birds are in and he's satisfied with what he sees happening, then he throws the net over top of the birds and he's got them. Well, that's exactly the way Satan works today. He's a fowler. He has a snare, and if he can get us to start eating little seeds of intoxicating seeds or whatever to cause us to become drowsy in our Christian life and become insensitive to the dangers that are around us, and then when he's got us, all of a sudden he throws the net over us. Whatever happened? Well, you know, Paul talks about that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, that sounds a little bit what we were describing, doesn't it? We allow ourselves to be exposed to some of the things that cause us to become, spiritually drunken and insensitive to the dangers around us. the snare of gradualism. Number seven, gradualism occurs when men Gradualism occurs when we lose sight of the holiness of God. And we could go to Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Now, maybe I'll refer to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation?" And God did this recently. I was reading from Peter and going to a Revelation and talking about, you know, when the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, the earth is going to be on fire, and everything in the earth, the world, everything is going to melt with fervent heat. And then even the kings and the princes and people in high political ranks are going to cry for the mountains, for the rocks to fall on them and hide them. But it said, death will not come. And I thought, you know, someday. But all of this, I don't know how it's all going to take place, but I know what the Bible says. And I know that what the Bible says, somehow it's going to happen. God has some plan in place. But knowing all of this, that we should specifically and especially pay attention to our walk with God. That's so important. And that's what he's talking about. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" You know, when we lose sight of how holy God is, we can gradually find ourselves slipping into the arena of compromise. The holiness of God will keep us from drifting. The holiness of God demands separation from everything that is worldly, sinful, and apostate. God's holiness is the root of underlying premise for all Bible separation. Now, number seven, gradualism occurs when men fail to lead the home. Now, we're speaking specifically of homes where the father is present, where there's a father, where there's a man in the home. And I don't mean to be extra hard on you, brethren. I'm a man, and I'm also responsible for our home, my home. But we can't take this responsibility too lightly, brethren. God has called us to a responsibility. How much are men held accountable for gradualism? Gradualism creeps into our homes and churches because men are not being the kind of spiritual leaders that God wants them to be. I know that sounds a bit negative, and again, I don't want to be critical, especially, you know, for young men in midlife crisis. We were there. Aren't we? We know what it's like. And our hearts go out to those young men who are in the heat of the day. And it's not easy. But we want to encourage you to be true to God. The old saying is true, as the men go, so goes the churches. Men today need backbone to stand up for what is right and true. Gradualism in families and churches today is the result of men who are no longer spiritual leaders in the home and the church. You know, Joshua in chapter 24, verse 15, he says like this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I think that would be good if we could say that. All of you men who are married, grandpas, great-grandpas, whatever, let's say that together. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was a little bit weak. Let's try it again. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. God be with you and his grace sufficient for that commitment. This applies to where men are in the home. Number one, men must make a choice for their families or homes today. The children do not make the choice, or the wife does not make the choice. She doesn't have that responsibility, neither do the children, even though they are individually accountable to God. But it's the man, the husband, the father, that is called to make those choices. The man must be the leader for his family today and stand in the gap. The man of the home must make the decision to lead his family in God's way and teach his family the importance of following God's will and standard of holiness. Lastly, our sons and daughters need to see Dad taking his place in spiritual leadership responsibilities. That's a challenge, isn't it? Young, single brethren, your life today, you are preparing yourself for that responsibility, should God lead you that way. It's a real blessing to be able to be in that place, but also a responsibility. We need more men like Joshua today. You know, God is calling us to be strong and doing what is right. God is asking us to not turn to the right or to the left. Now, this means that we should not deviate from the path of holiness and truth in any way. We need to be strong and courageous in the battle. Beware of gradually drifting where we look at things as not being so bad as they used to be. We can become desensitized to the evils surrounding us. And number 8, gradualism develops when theory, beliefs, and practices are separated. You know, there are people who will talk the walk, but they fail to walk the talk. You know, what we believe affects the way we live. And there was another quote that I wanted to share in relation to that, that the way we live affects the way we pray, and the way we pray affects our walk of life. If you think through that a little bit, the way we pray affects the way we walk, affects our prayer life, and our prayer life, the way we pray affects the way we walk. Now, briefly, in closing, there are 3 things I'd like to suggest as how can we be fortified against the snares of gradualism. Number 1, cultivate a healthy personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Number 2, we need to cultivate a healthy relationship with the scriptural and spiritual brotherhood. I might just add this. There are times when I have strong preferences I feel like is right. I maybe have a right to that, but it's a strong preference. If I find myself with a scriptural church, I'm comfortable and satisfied with the church. I feel like they're moving the right direction. And if I find myself with a fellowship that I feel comfortable and satisfied that they're moving the right direction and they're satisfied, that there are times when I need to lay aside my preferences for the sake of unity of the brotherhood. I don't know, hopefully I'm not saying too much. I really feel that as leaders, sometimes we have preferences that are not necessarily violating a principle if varied, but we see that as for the sake of unity and supporting our brethren. And I could give a few illustrations on that. I don't have time to go into that, but it's so important that we cultivate a healthy relationship with the scriptural and spiritual brotherhood. Thirdly, we need to cultivate an awareness of the power of influence, association, reading material, hearing material, seeing material. All of this goes together. And number 4, we need to pray one for another. And I'd like to close with this, brethren. I need it as well as anyone else. But Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, there are 4 words, brethren, pray for us. May that be our experience this morning as of the church here at Mount Joy and Santa Fe Mennonite Church in Florida. Let's pray for each other. We need each other. Daily, brethren, we should be remembering our churches and our schools. And there are so many needs that we need to be thinking about and praying about that We do well to pray for each other. God bless you. Thank you for praying. Thank you for listening. And I certainly don't want to say anything, do anything that is going to undermine or destroy or hinder your work to be faithful in that which God has called you to. All right, shall we kneel for prayer?